pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Hope everyone is got some plans underway. Hopefully you can spend some time with your family. A lot coming up on the program. Still to come, we'll talk to Arnold Mooney, state representative from up in Birmingham, also ran for United States Senate earlier this year. From the Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, that'll be an interesting conversation. Their head, Marty Schumper, will be with us. And then, as we do every Wednesday, from Yellowhammer News, Sean Ross will be with us. So a lot of reasons for you to stick around as hour number two is now underway. Joining us now on the program, always a delight to introduce Congressman Bradley Byrne, represents us here in the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Jeff. I hope you are.
Yeah, thank you for making time for us. We really do appreciate it. I guess it still remains out there. Here we are, 3 weeks and some change removed from the presidential election. Looking at where we are at, how do you assess what's going on? There just seems to be still a lot of questions about how the votes were tallied and whether or not these are valid elections in a lot of places around the country.
Well, in every state in the United States of America, they have a legal process for determining if a ballot is appropriately counted or not. And the president had a pretty large, well-funded legal team to go into the key states to try to have the sort of judicial effort to overturn the counting of certain ballots. And his legal team just hasn't won anywhere. And so they're now over to a different tack altogether, since they just lost in court everywhere they filed anything. And they're trying to convince governors and legislatures to pick a different set of electors for their state than what the election results would show. And most of the states have already certified their election results. We have a couple of the key ones, Arizona and Wisconsin, haven't, but they're expected to do that in the next few days. So you're asking a governor to issue a certificate of ascertainment as to who their electors are that's at variance with certified election results. And some of these states, you've got Democratic governors, and obviously they're not going to do that. In Arizona, you have a Republican governor, and he's already said Joe Biden won Arizona. So I just don't see a strategy of getting the governors to issue a certificate as to who their electors are that would go against the certified results of the election. So now it looks like what his legal team is doing is turning more to the legislature. And what they're saying is that it's under the Constitution, it's up to the legislature of each state to determine who the electors are. And back in the early days, the legislatures in certain states would just directly pick the electors. You wouldn't even have an election in terms of who would be the elector for that state. But every state now has a law that says the electors are going to be chosen by popular vote. And so you're asking legislatures in places like Georgia, that is a Republican legislature, or Pennsylvania, that's a Republican legislature, to say, despite the election results as they've been certified, despite the certificate of ascertainment from our governor, we're going to pick a different set of electors. That's like the ultimate Hail Mary pass. And we've already seen it fail with Republican legislators in Michigan. And I know they're trying to do something with the Republican legislature in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Arizona, and Wisconsin. And I'm doubtful that that's going to work, but it's interesting that they're trying to do it.
I guess the fear is if you have a significant portion of the country that just doesn't think the elections are valid, and you know, this is going to present hurdles for the Biden administration, what can you accomplish politically, also given Congress? But, you know, people are, what kind of chilling effect does that have on the public when they, you know, they look at their paychecks and they look at their stub and see how much is taken from them. And, well, your vote really doesn't count. Whether or not that's true, there are some people that are going to believe that. I think that's really a bad precedent for the country.
There's no question about it. We already have record low levels of public trust and confidence in government. And the closeness of this election, the way election laws are set up in some of these states, the way certain election officials conducted themselves, you know, going way before the election, I think they have undermined further the confidence and trust that people have in government. But it's crucial that we build that confidence and trust with people. Now, here's the truth. In America, we have legal systems for resolving all this. And as I said, the president had, you know, pretty well-funded legal team to go use those systems in all these states to overturn the counting of certain ballots pursuant to that legal process. And the governor's legal team just failed across the board in all of those efforts in court, including with Republican judges. So what they're up to right now is, like I call it, the ultimate Hail Mary pass. And I'm just very doubtful it's going to succeed. Now, if that's the case, then our process will end with a certain result. And that certain result will be known for sure on December the 14th when the electors meet in their various states to cast their votes. And once that's done, I mean, I know there's these ideas that somehow the House of Representatives is going to overturn certain slates of electors. That's just not going to happen because the House is still going to be Democrat majority come January when that would have to be done. So the window is closing very quickly and hard on the president. And if the result is Joe Biden come December 14th, then that really is it. And at that point, I think everyone has to understand that whatever you think of our system has given us a result. And, you know, the president has allowed the people at GAO to start working with the Biden transition team. He's also allowed Biden to get the daily intelligence briefing that the president gets. So, you know, it's not like the American system has quit working. The American system is working. It's working the way it was legally designed to work. And it has produced a very interesting result where it looks like President Trump did not win the election. And it looks like Democrats failed to get enough votes to take the Senate. And it looks like they've lost at least a net 10 seats in the House with three House races still undecided. So it's kind of and Republicans not only retain control in legislatures across the country, we actually picked up both houses in New Hampshire. In the state legislature. So definitely a very split result in this presidential and the other elections 3 weeks ago, which is a message from the American people to everybody in Washington and state governments around the country. And so I think we have to realize that's the result, and whether I like it or not, I'm not going to be the resistance. That's what the Democrats did to President Trump 4 years ago. I think that was wrong. I thought it was harmful to our constitutional and harmful to our democracy, and I'm not going to play that game. If my candidate loses 4 years later, I'm going to be in the loyal opposition. I'm going to be in opposition to the president but loyal to my country, and not try to undermine the fundamental institutions that have made us such a great country.
Congressman, speaking of the Republicans, rather successful in the House, at least, election, they picked up a bunch of seats, not quite enough to get you over the top. But sitting here today, you look, and it's going to be roughly the same leadership that you've had these last couple of years. House Republicans, with you walking away, of course, but they're in good shape for future elections, it seems.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to sound overconfident about the midterm elections of 2022, because obviously 2 years is a long time in political life in this country. But the odds are pretty good that between redistricting, being the party that's not the president's party in an off-year election, and just the fact that we've gotten better at our messaging, et cetera, I think the odds are pretty good that we will retake the House. Republicans will retake the House in 2022. And that's even more of a challenge to a president like Joe Biden, because he's just not going to have anywhere to go legislatively to move anything, right? At least he would have some ability to move something in the House in the next Congress. But if they don't win both of these Senate races in Georgia, which is highly unlikely that they will win both of those races, then he's going to have Mitch McConnell in the Senate, and McConnell gets to decide what legislation is brought up and what isn't. And all these crazy bills that Nancy Pelosi will try to pass out of the House, they'll die in the Senate. So if you're one of those Democrats in the House of Representatives that's in one of these swing districts, you're going to be asked to vote for some crazy left-wing bill that could get you in hot water in your reelect in 2 years, and it's a bill that's going nowhere in the United States Senate, will never become law. That's a recipe for disaster for the Democrats, and they are facing disaster right now.
I mean, listen to Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader, talk about this. He thinks that it's going to be hard for Pelosi to really, with these thin margins, to really maintain control. We still got a speaker's election that she's going to need every vote available. But there's going to be some circumstances where he thinks the Republicans can really make some hay and control business on the floor at some point.
Oh, I think he's right. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, you know, my Democratic friends up there who are in these tough districts, they're not very happy right now because they feel like all these so-called messaging bills that Pelosi made them vote on last Congress is what got them into hot water. And their message, the Democrats' message, is exactly the wrong message right now to win over America. So what Kevin McCarthy and next Congress, including my replacement, Jerry Carl, will do is they'll continue to put stuff out there to force these Democrats into these tough, tough, tough votes and tough policy positions and force this sort of division that's already very clearly there within their conference. But let me just tell you, if you want to win a Democratic primary these days, you've got to go hard left. You don't have any choice about that. So you've got people who know that they can't go hard left in a general election, but they've got to take some hard left positions to win their Democratic primary. It's just a terrible position for them to be in. And it's perfectly appropriate for the Republicans to exploit that. And Republicans will exploit that, and I think will do it very successfully.
Joined by Congressman Bradley Byrd here for a few more moments. Congressman, one of the things that's played your district, and not just you, but your predecessors, is figuring out this I-10 situation. It seems like for 100 years, people in our area have been trying to figure out how to get from Mobile to Baldwin County, and here we are in this latest chapter. Kind of looking at it now, hearing some buzz, the local governments, the municipalities, and the county commissions want to get this thing back going. Where do you think we are right now as you're kind of looking back and I guess looking ahead on that project?
Well, the federal government's kind of done its thing, and the federal money's still there, by the way, and all the regulatory approvals are there. So the federal government's ready to go forward with the project. The problem, as it developed a year or so ago, was between the state government and the local governments in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, what I said from the beginning is the problem was and is the toll. And I just think that there was a misunderstanding about how unpopular that toll idea was. Going forward, what we've got to do is come up with something that would allow people in both Mobile and Baldwin counties to get back and forth without paying a toll. Now, the problem was that the plan that came forward from the State Department of Transportation was to toll not only the new span, but also to toll the Bayway. And perhaps if we came forward with something that said, well, maybe you toll the new span and you don't toll the Bayway, maybe there's a way to put enough local leadership in support of it and the state leadership in support of it to where that project could go forward. But the real center of gravity here is with local leaders and state leaders. It's really not federal leaders. Jerry Carl doesn't have to worry about that money that's been put out there going away in the next couple of years. It's still going to be there. So this is really off the federal government, really on state and local governments. Now, we've got some new mayors, and I know them. I've been meeting with the new mayors. They're good people. They're smart people. They care about their municipalities. And there may be some new thinking here about how to go forward. So I'm watching these local leaders, and, you know, it's their leadership with the state that will make the difference. Oh, yeah. Now, you know, go ahead.
Well, one quick question, and we're kind of running out of time here. Richard Shelby, there seems to be an indication that he may not be around beyond 2022 if he doesn't run again as chairman of the Appropriations Committee. is that money always going to be there from the federal government? And is there any way to increase that money? I guess the you know, you're kind of hoping on what we have in place right now being there in the future, because to me, just looking ahead, this looks like this is still we're a ways away from making any progress.
No, it won't be there forever. Now, it might be enhanced if we get some big infrastructure bill that comes out in the next year or so, but I still think that the onus for coming up with most of the money's got to be on the state and local governments here. The state has a lot of money that it gets from the federal government every year from the National Highway Fund, and it could use part of that, or it could bond money. As you know, I've been saying we should be able to bond some of the Skull Mesa money to do it, et cetera. So there's a way to put all this together and make it work. The federal end is done, ready to go. There is state money that can be used for it that comes from the federal government, including Skull Mesa money. And there's a way to put it all together. But it's going to require these local leaders, including the new local leaders, working with the governor. But I will say this, and that's, I think this is where you're going. Our time frame is not unlimited here. If they're going to do something, they need to do it in the next several months to a year. I mean, come up with a plan that's approved, et cetera. I think the U.S. Department of Transportation, unless it's just wildly out of the box, I think the U.S. Department of Transportation will find some way to help them make this happen, because one thing we have accomplished, we got in the Department of Transportation, going back to Obama administration, so it's just not a Democrat-Republican thing. The Department of Transportation has said, this is critical for the United States of America. So we're teed up with the federal government. We just got to get the state and locals together.
Carson, we've got to leave it there, but it's a very good segment. I really do appreciate you making time for us. It's really informative.
Happy to do it. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to everybody.
All right. Congressman Bradley Byrd, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.